Clap check.
Ah, oh!
Good morning, Vietnam!
Yeah.
This is Steel Sam. What's up, people?
What's happening,
I'm
y'all?
I'm here with the rest of the wall breakers.
Don't touch me like that.
But you consented with your eyes and your body.
I didn't know such
thing. Ladies, he's not single.
Exactly. That's why I have to move on, guys.
I don't need a girlfriend for that.
My last relationship, she was jealous of both girls and guys.
Wait, what?
Really fucking,
you know what?
Stupid.
This already went off the rails. Please, everybody, introduce yourself, starting to my man on the left.
Yo, guys, this is Stefan Skins coming to you live at my apartment.
Because no one's right.
I guess.
Anyways.
Left and right, no.
This is Jordan the chemist, moving on.
Okay. I am the fortunate son.
What?
For those who know, wave into the flag. Ooh, the boys,
you know, you know the song, Fortunate Son?
Dog. No.
No.
That's like the song that plays when, like, there's a, you go to Vietnam.
That sounds like a Mumford & Sons song. Is it a Mumford & Sons song?
No. It's actually a song from Creedence Clearwater.
Clearwater, yeah.
They're a 70s rock band. Highly recommended.
Well, I'll show you the song after the podcast. You'll know what it is. Okay, but my actual name is it's just Flute Man or John Flute Man or the coolest guy that's actually kind of lame.
Gay.
God, I'm quenching this thirst. Shout out to Skins for providing water for the first time since we started this fucking podcast. Oh my God.
I bring my own
water.
It
tastes so good. Hear this.
It took a year, but it happened, people.
Shut the fuck up and you're welcome.
Oh my God. Sweet, sweet agua.
Get your own water. Is it that hard to do?
The point is, when somebody comes over to your place, you're supposed to have refreshments.
Hey, Sam, do you want cold water?
No, the bare minimum is water.
Yeah.
So that then I can have the cold water later.
You got it.
Actually, it's urine, but you know.
You're in my heart.
And you'll be in my heart.
Keep going.
All right, enough with the flirting. This is Give the Horn. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, that was flirting? Sluts.
Give the Horn is fine.
Give thine horny toad sluts.
I'm gonna tell your girlfriend. Shut up.
Go for it.
I haven't.
She knows I call you that.
It's fine. I can complain.
Guillermo, I wasn't flirting.
I can also make your life miserable.
I wasn't flirting, Guillermo.
Don't test me. The 4th of July is coming up.
Oh my.
Hey, I wasn't flirting, dude. I haven't even started
yet.
Are
you gonna like blow fireworks at his house or something? What the fuck?
I will blow up your house.
I'm just saying it'd be smart if he didn't invite her.
Oh my God. We're going into mediocrity now. Anyways.
He's testing me. Degeneracy.
What do we got in the schedule today, boys? You got any weekly recaps?
Nunca suficiente.
Put a cap in you.
I realized how little education is actually required to be an athletic coach.
That's what makes me happy. You don't have to have a high criteria. I have hope.
You are more qualified than they are.
Oh, okay.
Because you can at least do basic math.
That's true. You know, special ed did very little for me, but at least I could do math.
It's fifth grade math.
Oh, yeah.
Fifth grade. You would assume somebody who works at a college. Not as a janitor, not as a fucking custodial staff. A coach could do basic math.
If you're in special ed and you can form complete sentences, you should get out. Like, you're not meant to be there, okay?
I've been told that.
If you say please and thank you and get the fuck off me, you shouldn't be there.
Okay, Epstein.
Jesus. Get help. Talk to your nearby counselor.
Therapist.
Get
Talk
out.
To your congressman.
Get out.
Vote.
It'll be such an achievement, bigger than your high school diploma. Do it.
In any case.
Your parents will cry, I reassure you.
But yeah. Doing my job now, because I recently switched jobs. I'm not going to say where I went to, because I don't want to lose my job, and I want them to sue me. But
say it, you won't.
It's no, I'm not going to. I won't. I really won't. I'm willing to say a lot of things like nigga, but I'm not willing to say where I work.
Guys, he works at Mumford & Sons.
Yes,
I do. You're smart. If you would have told me that, I would have been like, I'll do it. I work here.
But in any case.
I work at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
I thought you worked at Chuck E. Cheese's.
I did for a little bit.
Wait, you really did?
No, I didn't. But I have taken care of degenerate fucking kids, and I hate them so much.
They have an impeccable business model, I've heard.
Yeah, according to Ron Swanson.
I couldn't actually imagine you as a dad, Theo Sam. You'd be one of those parents who would bring back beating your kids.
only for serious situations. Yeah,
same here.
Only for serious. like if they tried to rob a liquor store with a knife.
Or if they lost $5.
Oh my God. Just the range. Oh, and also, just to be clear, I'm not saying that I'm accusing him of being a beater.
I am.
But like, Theo Sam is a very rational person, and he's very caring.
Debatable.
But if there comes a point where his child is like going overboard, that he needs a spanking, you best believe he's gonna get a spanking.
We don't spank in this house. We beat.
We beat the children.
$5. It's not just $5, Tim. That's 500 pennies. 50 dimes. 20 quarters.
Bam! You know what that is? That's 15 more minutes I don't get to be with you. And that's 15 more minutes that I have to spend working at a job that I didn't want to because you were bored.
Dude, imagine like the kid loses $5 and then the parent responds, by getting $5 worth of quarters, putting him in a sock and beating him with the sock.
That's what I was thinking.
Papa, look, I made this macaroni art for you. Where'd you get the macaroni?
Pinche chamaco, that was today's dinner.
Now you're going to eat it. But it has Gorilla Glue on it. Did I ask what it had with it?
Break me up a switch.
Can we talk about that?
Oh. But if it gets worse, okay, that's it. Bite the curve.
Oh, no. Jesus. I have dental insurance.
No lloras. They're baby teeth.
Oh, my God.
But I'm 15. Exactly. The teeth of a baby.
Now you're going to become one of those silver tooth kids. You know the ones.
Oh, God.
You want to be gangster, huh? You want to be gangster?
But
let me use the free grills.
But do you guys ever have to cut your own switch?
No.
Cut?
Cut your own switch. You know what that means?
Grab a tree branch.
You have to go outside, grab a tree branch so they can whip you with it.
Oh, I thought you literally meant the switch, the Nintendo Switch.
They used their hands.
No, my parents did too. And then I heard about that and I decided to challenge them.
My dad once used the golf club.
Oof.
Jeez, that's brutal.
My mom. Yeah. At one point, use the broom.
Yeah, I've had the broom. Yeah. I've had the broom.
I think it's because, you know, the older you get, the thicker your skin is. And so the hands don't cut anymore.
Well, no, see, you it's not the thicker your skin. You've grown accustomed to the pain.
These things no longer work on your hippo hide. Like, I need something else.
Did you ever see... Well, seriously. But did you ever see the movie with Denzel Washington and Morgan Freeman, Glory? Where... No. It's a Civil War movie where they join the only black regiment and the Union Army. And at one point, you know, Denzel Washington's getting his ass beat because he was trying to run away to look for shoes. Blah, blah, blah. It's a sad story. The bottom line is when they rip off his shirt, his back is like completely covered from his neck all the way to his ass in just whipping scars. And when they start whipping him, he's just looking at everybody just like... He doesn't even, his expression never even changes. And I'm just like, that's how it is for us as kids. We get so accustomed to the beatings that they have to up the pain.
Fair enough.
We no longer have that broom.
That sort of reminds me of Isaac from Castlevania. For training, he like kind of whips himself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
kind of.
I love that character. He's so cool.
Anything else?
I have a really cool shovel I named Divorce Attorney.
Oh, fuck. But you've never been married.
Best divorce attorney I could ever get.
Oh my God. About I want to say 3 weeks ago. I learned last week that I officially do have a crush. Fucking sucks.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
I thought we were over this shit, but no. You know, no, we're not. Apparently, I haven't learned.
Who's the lucky girl?
Is she white?
She's a coconut.
Oh, she a white brownie.
And he's
a
hoping,
slight upgrade.
And he's hoping to put the lime in the coconut, if you catch
upgrade.
My drift.
Basically an aesthetic upgrade. Nothing more.
A slight upgrade.
Hey, Guy, are you trying to put the lime in the coconut?
An aesthetic upgrade.
Cocoa
nothing
leaves.
More.
Oh, cocoa leaves.
Cocoa leaves? There's no cocoa leaves.
Coca.
Cocaine, leaves. Yeah.
Coca leaves.
Is there something you want to add there, my guy? What? Why? Oh, God. I don't like it.
Okay. What else is going on?
That's it for me. My week was boring.
I don't got much going on.
I think I'm still on mine. I got a
crash.
But
you had or have? Can't tell.
Well, when I figured it out, I was also having a really bad day. So, I was at a gig, right? Mm-hmm. And they're pulling on music I've never played before.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
So you're basically saying that you only have crushes on bad days?
No, I was supposed to find out if I did have a crush. I did in the beginning, and then the rest of my time went to shit.
And
at the end of the gig, I wanted to throw my horn, my trumpet, against the wall.
Jesus.
I was that pissed.
Oh my God. Listen, kids, never get crushes. They're bad for you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no. Kids, it's okay to get crushes. As an adult, get over it. You've
just ask them out.
Exactly. Honestly.
But I'm not ready for a relationship.
It's okay. She is. In any case.
I'm not ready to land this plane, guys.
Then keep it flying.
When did you get your license? I didn't even know you were on the plane.
This is your captain speaking. We're fucked.
A phrase you never want to hear. Ever.
If you look out to your left, your pilot is gone.
That's me ejecting from the cockpit. Good luck landing this fucking plane.
Good luck, anybody else.
You know the worst part? I'm using Bluetooth.
No. I still got a 401k to think about. Oh, my God.
I wanted to be Top Gun.
Is that everybody's weekly recap?
No.
I know Stefan said he didn't have anything.
Nah, I'm a boring guy.
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
No.
I already said mine.
I am nothing.
Did you say yours?
I got nothing.
You don't want? You want? Okay.
As long as you count driving kids to school as something important. And
No,
it's not.
It's babysitting people's.
I reposted it.
It's babysitting people's failed abortions. I said what I said.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That's going to be a fun one.
I'm coming out swinging this time.
You can do it. I believe in you.
No, it's not. I didn't sleep at all last night.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Don't worry. I'll beat you with a switch. You'll wake up.
All right. So, today's, I guess, discussion is about freedom of speech.
Freedoms in general.
Yeah. Shut up.
Freedoms in general.
Personal freedom.
Stop talking. Yeah. I don't agree.
But, like, since we haven't done this in a while, one of the things that popped up to us recently, and everybody, too, is Elon Musk fucking buying Twitter.
Jesus Christ.
It's a changing world.
Here we go.
You know, I want to know what the conversation was when he proposed to buy their platform.
Honestly, they probably...
I'll tell you. I want to buy it. We'll sell it for this much money. All right.
It's not about the
Excuse
money.
Me?
It's about sending a message.
Shut up. I'm talking right now. Me.
No, but
not
that,
you.
But that
Go back to sleep.
So well. It's not about the money. It's about sending
I'm
a
sorry,
message.
Sorry, please keep going. Yours was clearly funnier.
I'm over it now.
What I loved is that people thought this was actually a meme. He was just joking. Because he does this all the time. Mm-hmm. And we don't know. And he's actually it wasn't until like almost 2 weeks later that people realized he's serious.
Hey, remember the one time he joked about Dogecoin and I lost money?
Oh, by the way.
That was your own fucking fault.
Dogecoin is tanking right now.
It's been tanked all along forever.
Mm-hmm. But see, it's $100. That's what I invested in it. I invested too late.
I invested $1,000.
Yeah, and you pulled it out.
That's true. I did end up with 2,000, but I had 14,000.
And you pulled that out.
No. You pulled out.
Not in time. Not in time.
But see, that's your own fucking fault.
That's the problem. You let on some idiots on, and he plays with your people's money, and all of a sudden, I don't know. I just wanted to use the voice again.
In any case,
so the question I would ask is like, why?
Z.
He's been a big proponent of freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
I think his most open example of that was his Joe Rogan podcast episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because the dude literally gives no fucks. Mm. He let himself be recorded smoking weed on the podcast.
Yeah. That became all an NFT.
That's an NFT that lives on forever. So it's just like...
Oh, man. But yeah, Elon Musk has been like recorded by saying that he's like a proponent of freedom of speech. And he feels that like one side of the aisle has been in favor in Twitter for a long time. Mm-hmm. So he according to his like speeches, he wants to like kind of even it out, so to speak, where both sides have a voice to speak at the platform. And ever since, a lot has been going on the website. Like, for example, the government has been getting involved in the purchase and mm-hmm. by trying to like kind of add in some regulations into the mm-hmm. website.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because you have to realize that Twitter didn't get as big as it did overnight. Like, the amount of times it's been reorganized, restructured, purchased out, made public, private, then public again. It's been a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And then for just one guy to say, you know, I've got all this money. I want your platform. And then, like, Guy of the Horn said, they were like, we'll sell it to you for this much. And he's like, okay. Right. He didn't even negotiate. He was like, okay.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
I want it.
And, you know, this is actually a good time for the website because recently Twitter, in terms of stocks, has not been doing so well.
No.
It's been like...
It's been tanking. And a lot of it has to do with how closely intertwined they are with, you know, political platforms. To be fair, I'm surprised that they are still active, all things considered.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know how deep into the abyss of Twitter you guys are in, but there's free porn on Twitter.
There is?
Yes.
What? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's like the dark side of Twitter.
Exactly.
Oh, and also another thing that he's been doing, he's been unbanning a lot of accounts. Like, he just unbanned Trump recently.
Oh, dear God. Dear God, not again. Yeah.
You got to be the worst pirate I've ever heard of. It says, but you have heard of me.
So it says here that he's putting his bid to acquire Twitter on hold.
Wait, he's putting it on hold?
Really?
Yeah.
What the heck?
Twitter deal temporarily on hold pending details supporting calculations that spam fake accounts do indeed represent less than 5% of users.
Oh. Must
tweet it on Friday.
That's right. That's actually one of the things he wanted to do when he bought Twitter, is to like get rid of fake accounts.
I appreciate that, honestly.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that concerned me, and it's honestly the part that is most frightening, and I think is most frightening to a lot of people, is number one, he then becomes a global conglomerate of social media, automobiles, and now the SpaceX program.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's number one. But then number two, and this is the more concerning one, is he proposed to give corporations the option to purchase accounts to use on Twitter, because what he was proposing was to ban initially like major companies, corporations, stuff like that mm-hmm. on Twitter. And instead what he's, you know, proposing after, you know, a lot of feedback and like a lot of negative feedback came from that is, okay, they can be on Twitter, but they have to pay for their accounts.
Ugh. Is that what's going to potentially happen, you think, where he's going to have people pay?
Oh, yeah, but it's going to be like, I don't know if you guys... No, we've all watched Ready Player One, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you're gay, so... That's not a shocker. But ultimately, it's going to be like how the guy Sorrento in that movie wanted to do.
Talking to you? No.
Shut up, bitch. Anyway, where he wanted to give people tiers of an account on a social media platform, which I understand what he's going for. I really do. But you have to understand how dangerous that is.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you allow these mega billion dollar corporations to suddenly be able to advertise as much as they want on Twitter or whatever, people are going to stop using the platform altogether because it's just going to be an influx of ads.
People are like under the assumption that with Musk being in control that it's going to make Twitter better. That's not necessarily true. There could be things that he could actually make worse. That's a very strong possibility as well. Like, we don't know what Twitter's going to be like if he takes control, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's still a complete mystery. He could make things better, possibly, but we don't know that for sure.
Yeah. Like, ultimately, we don't know what his agenda is with buying Twitter, other than the fact that he said that he's a proponent of free speech.
Mm-hmm.
But even by saying that, you know, you never really know what somebody actually means by they're a proponent of free speech.
Yeah.
Because there could be people who take that to the absolute extreme and allow, you know, like, white supremacies or Antifa or whatever on Twitter. That's technically freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Do I agree with it? Absolutely not. Do I think it should be illegal? Yes. But at the end of the day, it's freedom of speech.
Mm.
But based on Twitter guidelines and the Twitter board of directors and all that shit, it's unlikely to happen. So the question then becomes, what was his real goal with purchasing Twitter?
I could definitely imagine him. He's just wanting to make more money because he could see the value that Twitter can provide for himself and possibly for his companies.
That's true.
So that's definitely a strong possibility.
Or he wants to become Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I am the eagle now.
It kind of like, and it also brings an interesting question where is it possible to become a billionaire in an ethical way? Or do you have to step on other people in order to do so?
You kind of, unfortunately, you kind of have to step on other people.
To be a billionaire?
Yeah.
Like,
there's exploitation.
To be a millionaire, it's a lot easier than people think. Like, if you're really smart and you play the stock market well, you can become a billionaire overnight. I mean, a millionaire overnight. But to be a billionaire takes a lot more.
Okay.
A lot more. You have to sell a part of your soul to become that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Because, like, as much as I prefer capitalism over, like, communism, it's not a perfect system. Because we have to rely on the 1% to have our best interests more often than not.
Well, we don't have to rely on them for our best interests. We just have to rely on them to do what is in their best interest, which by default is what's in our best interest.
Yeah.
Because if we all of a sudden just said, yeah, we're not going to be shopping at your stores anymore, or we're not going to be buying your products anymore.
Oh, yeah, the bottom line.
Yeah.
Where it hurts.
They would immediately change whatever course of action they were taking.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, most people don't think that way, and that's why it hasn't really affected people over the course of, you know, several years.
Mm.
In any case, I honestly think that he's getting ready to, you know, for the next political cycle, the election.
Oh, yeah.
And he wants that conglomerate so that he can really influence the next election and the next political cycle.
It's like just around the corner, so it's the timing is pretty perfect, actually.
Exactly.
Well, even though there was a delay on the plans, Elon Musk still has the intention of the acquisition of Twitter, essentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just saw that right now, how, like, it's on hold. I'm like, huh. Mm-hmm.
I actually am not 100% certain on this, but, you know, Jack Dorsey?
Ooh, who is that?
Jack Dorsey, if I'm not mistaken, is the original owner of Twitter. Mm-hmm. And let me double check on this because I could be giving false information. Continue talking in the meantime.
But, yeah, I don't really know how you guys feel about it. Honestly, at this point, I'm like, it's Elon Musk. He's not the best person to have Twitter, but he's certainly not the worst.
People,
I don't use Twitter, so I kind of don't give a shit.
Oh, Jack Dorsey was the co-founder of Twitter. Fun fact, he was banned.
He was banned from Twitter?
Yeah. Jesus. But he was recently unbanned.
I mean, I guess. But maybe there's a reason
why. What about him? Why'd you mention him?
Oh, I was just saying that he was, I forgot where I was going with that. I'm sorry.
Okay. In any case, I wanted to see that.
All right.
I don't know how you guys feel about it, honestly. Me, I don't care. Because it would be a whole different situation if, you know, you said Jeff Bezos was doing it. Mm-hmm. Side story, I currently hate Amazon right now. I really do. They're incurring my wrath as we speak.
Oh, shit. Has an order not come in time?
I can't even get into it right now because I'll go on a rant and I don't want to take over this podcast.
Okay, I'm pretty happy enough with Amazon Fresh.
So here are my thoughts about the Elon Musk situation.
Yeah.
Fucking, you could buy two racks of ribs for what? Let's say $25 each and then use a $20 off coupon. Both those racks are basically $15 each.
What are you gay?
Anyways.
I like smoking meats, okay?
I was going to say that, like, people like to like draw parallels with real life figures. People have been quoted by calling Elon Musk the modern day real life Tony Stark.
No.
I know.
I mean, he doesn't have a suit per se.
No.
That we know of.
No.
Wait, what'd you say? He's closer to Tony Stark than Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, that's true. He is. Yeah. And Jeff Bezos has been quoted by being the real life Lex Luthor.
Yeah. A la madre.
But in terms of him buying Twitter, I'm actually open to it because the way Twitter is now, I'm not a fan. I'm open to change. But that doesn't necessarily mean it might be good change, but I'm open to something new. I'm all for it.
This just in. I just found this out in, remember the last Spider-Man movie, how Doctor Strange made everyone forget? Apparently in the comics, Hulk never forgets.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hulk remembers who he is. Mm. And Spider-Man's like, what the fuck? And he's like, yeah, you made everyone forget, even Puny Banner, but Hulk never forgets.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, holy shit.
It's because Hulk is from hell.
Is he really?
Yeah, the source of his power is from hell.
Oh, shit.
So
it's not. Wait, what? It's not cosmic?
No, it's from hell.
So Hulk is supernatural?
In essence, yeah.
So he could beat the shit out of Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, he has no limit to his strength. Superman does. Mm. Number one, that's how he beats Superman.
Okay.
And then number two, exactly. He is magic.
Okay. We're going a little off topic here.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about Elon Musk buying Twitter, Joren?
I don't give a shit. Moving on.
I use Twitter for porn.
Wow.
Okay.
That's how I know there's porn.
Your girlfriend doesn't watch this, does she?
No.
Okay.
You mean, does she listen to
it?
I don't know. But she knows I still watch porn.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm not going to lie to her about the fact that I still watch porn from time to time.
Baby, sweet. You're not enough for me.
It's more like I am home alone and you're not coming over and I need to rub one out.
That's fair. No, I concur.
Baby, you're not enough for me.
No. Stop it.
All right. Anyways. Do you have any thoughts about Musk buying Twitter?
I hope he does something really funny with it.
I hope so, too. If anything, we'll get good memes out of it.
Oh, yeah.
A bird person becomes phoenix person.
All right, so
the phoenix level.
You guys ready to talk about the next thing?
I am.
Get over here.
You degenerate.
There's a few minutes of shut-eye.
Oh, that's... Oh, yeah. I don't blame you.
Why are you so gay?
That's a question that has a really long answer.
Not really.
It really doesn't.
Do you like boys' booty holes or do you like their dicks?
What?
Neither.
How did we get here?
Because I asked him.
It's the old Sam. Of course we got here.
How do you know?
Sam.
That you're gay.
Sam.
Yes.
Neither one. You got a pretty mouth.
Oh my.
Thank you.
The Fellowship of the Ring.
Oh, God!
For the Shire!
It's a trap!
I know.
And you have my bow.
Sam! Sam!
Precious. Gotta protect the precious.
Oh, my God, stop.
Let's move on.
I'll take these hobbitses.
So, Dave Chappelle was attacked during his comedy performance.
Hate crime?
Hate crime?
It could be construed as that.
Actually did some research on the person that did it. His motivation was for clout. this is literally what he is. He's a conservative black rapper who voted for Trump. That's his whole shtick.
I mean, I guess.
I cannot imagine someone in his situation being offended by his jokes, honestly.
Here's what I have to say about it. It took this long.
I mean, Trump's not even president anymore.
For somebody to whoop his ass? Like, I'm not saying that he should have gotten his ass whooped. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm surprised it took this fucking long.
Oh, yeah.
With the shit he said? It took this many years for somebody to nut up?
Nut up?
and it was just literally just some dude, I want to be famous.
My arm!
My arm!
And he paid the price!
Oh, I know.
Listen to my new rap.
I can nose! Oh my God. Did you guys see the videos of how his arms looked like after it was over?
Yeah.
It looked like fucking chicken wings. It was so fucked up.
I honestly didn't watch any of it except for the part where Chris Rock shows up. Was that Will Smith?
And then after it happened, Chappelle goes up on stage. He's like, it was a trans man.
And then at one point he said he was going to kill that N-word.
Yeah. I'm going to kill that N-word.
The neighbor,
with the hard R.
Yeah,
with
we're not saying the hard R. I don't say the hard R.
He said the gamer word. These won't you be my neighbor.
Nice. Actually, that was
no,
dope.
But like, you without know what's arms. Funny? Your description of what happened to his arm is like chicken wings is the best description. Because you know the chicken wings, how it like bends?
Oh.
That's how his arm looked. Ooh. But instead of like bending down, it bent up.
Oh.
So you know how you stretch out your arms? Now imagine your fist bending more.
Oh,
snapping like a twig. Oh, it's glorious. I saw it.
But did you hear that people were trying to sue his friends and his bodyguards for breaking the guy's arms?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. They were like, they shouldn't have broken his arms. He shouldn't have attacked Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. Well, all they know, he could have had a knife.
Exactly. But here's the thing. And regardless of what I just said earlier, where I was like, I'm surprised it took this fucking long, I still don't think it should have happened. Mm-hmm. For a number of reasons. Number one, most importantly, he was in a comedy club doing a comedy show. That's freedom of speech. And nobody, when they're doing jokes,
these are jokes, people,
should be assaulted.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's becoming, like, a trend.
In the mic, motherfuckers.
I'm sorry. Jesus. I feel like it's becoming a trend where, comedians are actually could potentially be in danger for telling jokes.
Well, that's what I know you guys don't know because I was actually at his comedy show, but even Gabriel Iglesias is starting to be afraid of that.
Was he talking about that?
He was talking a little bit about it. He talked a little bit about the Dave Chappelle incident because it happened just before the show.
Oh, shit.
And he's like, you know, he was talking about how the security team did 3 days worth of, you know, test runs of his show with somebody just running up to the stage to see how quickly they could catch him.
Oh.
And they were like, yeah, nobody's getting up here.
This is actually a story that's like a lot of people don't know, but you guys know the rapper T.I.?
Yeah.
So
no, I don't listen to trash.
Okay. Oh, his music's not that great.
Before that, I could just imagine how that court day would have gone down. Mm-hmm. Why'd you break his arms? Why'd you feel the need to break his arms? I didn't hear no bail.
So this is literally like weeks after the Will Smith incident. Uh-huh. So there's this female comedian telling some jokes, and then one of her jokes was entailing an assault accusation that T.I. is under investigation over. And he was like in the audience listening to this. He got so upset that he actually stormed on stage threatening the comedian. And, like, she was scared shitless. Like, she thought that he was going to attack her.
But, see, that's the thing. And it's gotten to a point where it's honestly afraid. Number one, comedians tell jokes.
Yeah.
These are jokes. They can be hyperboles, they can be real life stories, or they can be parodies of real life stories. At the end of the day, you should not take a comedian seriously. Like,
and then second, why are you even there in the first place if you're going to get offended? You know that it's going to get offensive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The type of language that's going to be used during the performance is going to be offensive.
Like if you're going to a Bill Engvall concert, I mean not a concert, a comedy show or whatever, or a Jeff Dunham comedy show.
Oh, Jeff Dunham.
Like, I understand you're not expecting it to be that offensive. But if you're going to a Dave Chappelle show, you have to be expecting that at least at one point during the show, he's going to say some shit you're not going to like.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to be able to either accept that or be able to get up, not make a scene, and just walk out.
I still cannot believe this to this day, but the number one comedian in Saudi Arabia is Jeff Dunham.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Yes.
I'm serious. He is.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. He's the number one comedian in Saudi Arabia, in the Middle East. Not just Saudi Arabia, in the Middle East.
Gary Iglesias is number two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe Gary Iglesias being like top two, but Jeff, number one.
You know why?
Ice Cube! Yeah, exactly.
And that's an amazing thing, is the fact that in one of the most conservative, religiously, you know, controlled regions in the world, they can take a fucking joke. What does that say about our country who
in the mic?
What? Well, no, I'm
saying it. Oh, no, but you're doing this now. Oh,
okay. Like, what does that say about our country who protests such a love for freedom? And then we assault people for simply telling jokes.
We have nothing better to do.
We're more visual learners.
You know, I mean, in this day and age, yes.
It's just that we have nothing better to do.
I honestly believe that's the case.
Your mama's fat, white flag.
Oh, my God. Why are you waving the French flag?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That is the French flag. But I don't give a shit what anyone says.
I would, like, if we ever, like, do a live performance, if we ever go to France, we should come in stage with a white flag.
All I gotta say about America's sensitivity towards jokes, I mean, they take pride being so different from Europe, and yet they're the same in that department.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
France, you guys used to be so metal.
Louis the 16th. That's all I'm gonna say.
I think, remember Count Dankula?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring
Count
to.
Count Dankula.
Mm-hmm. Like, they were like, oh, no, you made an offensive joke by taking a video of your pug doing a Nazi salute just to anger his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Who's seen Tom Segura?
I've seen a couple of his special. Yeah.
You know how he compares people get offended to, like, his children?
I've never heard that one.
Wait, yeah, where he's like... he's like, we should just treat all these people like kids. You know, when my kid expresses disdain or disconcern, like, he'll come up to me and be like, it's loud. And I'll just be like, well, don't be over there. And then he'll be like, okay. And I give him a kiss on the forehead and then he's off. We should do the same thing to these people. I didn't like your show. I found it offensive. Oh, well, don't come next time.
One of my friends...
Give them a kiss on the forehead, mwah, and then send them off.
One of my friends was telling Mexican jokes on stage one time. He's a Mexican, by the way. Uh-huh. And he was, like, saying really offensive Mexican jokes, and a Mexican dude, like, playing pool was like, hey, fool, that's fucking offensive. Shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, oh, wow, I'm gonna get jumped after this.
See... I should try to send out. I'll just be like, no hablo inglés, pendejo.
But here's the thing, and it comes down to this trend that's happening. And I think of all the people it shouldn't affect, it's comedians. Because again, they're just telling jokes, people. It's entertainment. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to be taken literally.
My arm! Otherwise, that'll happen to you.
SpongeBob, is that you? But it's just like, to the people who want Dave Chappelle's bodyguards and friends to get sued, I have just one question for you. Do you want somebody to sue you if they broke into your house and you stabbed them or you killed them. Well, if you killed them, they can't see you. But if you stabbed them, would you want them to be able to sue you? No. It's honestly ridiculous at this point that anybody as a comedian is getting assaulted. Like, I understand being offended, and I understand, you know what, you have your right to freedom of speech as well. So you can boo, you can hiss, whatever. That's fine. But the minute you start putting your hands on people, I'm like, you get whatever's coming to you. If they choose to break your arm, or hell, if they choose to shoot you dead right there on stage, they're completely allowed to. So it's just like, I don't know. I just feel like, I laughed, honestly. I laughed when I saw
I saw the arm and I was I'm annoyed. I'm
annoyed. Oh,
but no, no. At first, I saw the picture. I was like, is that my leg? Did you not get the joke?
What?
I said, I saw the picture. I said, is that my leg?
Oh.
But I'm surprised you guys didn't get that. I say things very subtly.
Yes, you do.
You do.
I just realized that.
Yeah.
But bottom line is this: I'm like, I'm not saying that it was okay what happened to him. I'm just saying I'm surprised it took this fucking long.
Yeah.
Because like, if anybody, if any comedian was asking for it. He was.
Yeah.
Honestly. He was. Like, what if we were in that situation, like, where we're performing in a live audience, someone charges at us. What do you think we would do?
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
We would eat them.
Good fucking luck. First of all, you have to get on stage. To think that we would let you get on stage is amazing.
What, like, what is the first thing you're going to do? Are you going to, like, tackle them? Are you going to, like, go for their weak point?
Well, if we're on stage, I'm assuming we're elevated by at least 2, maybe 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also assuming there's a mic stand. I don't know about you, but when you're charging at somebody, you're charging them head first. And I was raised old school, so I'm going to grab that mic stand, and I'm just going to bam!
If they're on the
don't
ground,
do that again.
I would actually like jump and drop my knees onto their back.
Like, fuck around, that's what you're going to get. And then I'll look at the bar staff. I'll be like, how'd this fucker get in here?
No, no. When they run up, when someone runs up to us, apes together, strong.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Catch me.
Like, you're not just charging comedians, you're charging at brown people.
No, we all do the monkey sound except for Joe Ren, who does the Godzilla screech.
No, he should just scream.
Yeah.
Ah! You did that in a parking lot, remember?
What?
That you just didn't you scream? Didn't you just like primal scream and the guy was like, holy shit, I don't know what to do.
Wait, what happened? When? What happened?
Apparently you, one time we're in a parking lot and you did one of those primal screams that you like to do. And there was a guy around and he was just like, what the fuck?
I didn't pay attention to that happened. Like, but I think I did that once.
Yeah, it was a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah.
I feel like we would need security for the people who are going to charge at us from us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, another thing I would have said, you know, he comes at us on stage. Where are your friends? Here are mine.
Yeah. Seriously. It's like, bro, it's 5 of us and 1 of you.
I don't say this often, but La Raza. Yeah.
And I don't care how big he is. It's 5 of us. The 5 of us.
And I think we're all strong enough to count as 2 people each.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If Goku thinks Biden's okay, then it's okay for everyone.
Oh my god, I'm gonna bite his nose.
I was just watching the Broly movie, mm-hmm. and then I realized like in combat he bites.
Yeah, he did.
He like Broly? There's no yeah, Goku.
Oh, Goku!
Like he it doesn't time. Matter. Like he'll bite.
Like he That's, bit Whis when Whis had him on a lock, remember?
Yeah.
And he also bit Broly in the movie when Broly had him by the neck in the lava.
Oh, shit. Now I know
in
why.
Super Saiyan Blue, he went.
Now I know why Chi-Chi always wants to sleep with him.
Out your nose.
Because he's a biter.
Wait, remember apparently they never kissed?
Yeah, they never kissed.
But he bites.
No, he goes to Pound Town. And then he's like, get off me.
I had enough.
Get off me.
Now give me food. Oh my god.
But in regards to what happened? Like, I'm thinking for all of us, right? All of us grew up in like fucking Family Guy, American Dad, South Park,
fucking Robot and Chicken,
Simpsons. The Simpsons.
Did you grow up with South Park? I didn't.
Robot Chicken.
Well, we did. Boondocks. I'm saying us as like
a generation.
Our generation.
A generation. Mm.
This is the generation that created all of these shows, these satire based shows.
I started watching that shit when I was 12.
My parents called me cussing. Like, where'd you learn that? And I was like, it's either. I was trying to think what I would throw under the bus, because there were like I watched The Simpsons, and I was like, I love The Simpsons, and then I was like, okay, then there's King of the Hill. I don't really watch King of the Hill, and I said King of the Hill. They're like, you're not allowed to watch that anymore. Where in fact I learned it from The Simpsons. I was like, okay, cool.
But that was funny. Guillermo Cuss's parents, where'd you learn that from? That's something so threatening. I don't think I've ever cussed in front of my parents when I was younger. I don't think so.
I did. I paid for it dearly.
I bet you
did. Soap and water or the belt?
El pinche cinto.
Cinturón.
Oh. Cinturón, yeah.
Well, cinto is it's slang, but
it works. I know, but like for us, it's cinturón. But yeah. Now, let's talk about something a little touchy.
We're going to get pretty touchy right now.
A little touchy.
Very touchy, very touchy, touchy, touchy.
With consent, of course.
Get off me.
All consent.
Not without my consent.
So, recently, it's been brought to our attention that Roe v. Wade is being challenged.
Yes. Basically. In the Supreme Court, no less.
And if you don't know what that is, it basically entails abortion. So it is a very, very, very touchy talk about.
But we're going to talk about it because we don't care.
Yeah.
It's important that this needs to be discussed because nothing can be filtered in wall breakers.
Or actually, let me rephrase. We don't care about talking about touchy subjects. We do care about this.
Yeah. So in regards to abortion, it is a federal law that abortion is illegal, right?
No,
it's not.
No,
they're trying to make it illegal.
That's why Roe v. Wade is so important. Mm-hmm. Because originally there was no law governing whether abortion was legal or illegal. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until the case of Roe v. Wade that it was decided by the Supreme Court that having an abortion is constitutional. It's your constitutional right. Mm-hmm. Now, individual states have made, you know, their own legislations regarding it as to whether or not they're going to allow it, if they're going to charge fines or whatever. But on a federal level, if people wanted to persecute it to that level, they're completely within their rights to get an abortion if they so choose.
Yeah.
And ultimately what it comes down to is it's not so much about abortion as it is about a woman's right to choose whether or not they want to, what they want to do with their bodies concerning pregnancy, fertility, and any of those areas. That's really what Roe v. Wade came down to. And that's the only statute of the kind that exists, which is why everybody is so, you know, terrified of Roe v. Wade getting overturned. I don't know if you guys want to start or if you guys want me to.
Should we like give our individual thoughts on the whole situation?
Yeah, if you guys want.
You know what? You piss me off.
Ah! My arm! Anyways, my thoughts about the Roe v. Wade
my
situation.
My other arm.
I'm going to be frank with you guys. I don't like abortion. I wish it was something that didn't have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I understand that it's something that people have a decision to make. And ultimately, I'm not the one making that decision. Mm-hmm. It's somebody else. And I feel like the main reason why abortion is a thing is because, unfortunately, they can't take care of a kid. And they would have to give it to adoption. And unfortunately, as we've seen in the past, those systems are very flawed.
Mm-hmm.
And we could end up putting a kid in a very shitty situation.
Yes. I wholeheartedly agree. But I want to be the last one to speak because there's things that I want to bring up. Things that I didn't know before that it wasn't until this was starting to get talked about mm-hmm. that I feel are worthy to mention.
But okay.
Go ahead.
Does anyone else want to put in their take?
I want to hear what you have to say, to be quite honest.
Okay, so originally, because I have several different perspectives on this.
Mm-hmm.
One is a man. One is a man in a relationship. And then one is a man who has had family members who have been in situations where abortion was considered an option.
Mm-hmm.
And as a man in a situation where abortion was literally the only choice.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start off. I'm not going to name who it was in my family that had it. But I had a family member who got pregnant young.
Mm-hmm.
And because of how young they were, it was a very stressful situation. And honestly, one of the things that was considered was, you know, should that even be on the table? Now, they were raised Roman Catholic, so naturally it was very discouraged, especially by most members of my family, because not only are we Roman Catholic for the most part and most of my family, but we're also all Latino. And in a Latino community, it's very frowned upon to get an abortion. Mm. But ultimately, she had the right to choose. If she wanted to, she could have. If she didn't, she didn't. And ultimately, she ended up deciding to, you know, keep the baby, which I thank her for. But I understand, you know, that I had no right. Like, I told her, look, because she asked me, she was like, what do you think? At this point, you know, I had learned she was pregnant and everything. I was like, are you healthy? Are you happy? I'm like, and I told her, I don't have a right to tell you what to do. Number one, because I'm younger than you. So I don't know. And then number two, I'm like, it's up to you what you want to decide. Ultimately, I'm glad she didn't have the abortion. Because now I have my nephew. And I love him very much. But I had another family member.
But you know what? Sometimes.
That's true. Sometimes. You know, you got to consider what would happen.
Oh, and there's actually another thing I want to add after you're done.
Yeah. No. That's entirely fair. And I knew this was, I guess I kind of knew this was the case. But it wasn't until this whole situation started happening that I actually learned more of the specifics as to why abortion and more so abortion-like care is necessary and important for people to be able to have access to. The first instance and exposure that I got to this was one of my aunts. They unfortunately, when they were trying to conceive, had a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby was far enough along to where they couldn't just have a chemical abortion. So what they had to do was, unfortunately, they had to actually go to a Planned Parenthood clinic, and they actually had to extract the remains of the fetus.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking to her and seeing her shortly after, you know, it all happened, and she was devastated. But what hurt me even more was the fact that there were people there who were telling her, these were religious zealots, as I'm going to refer to them as, because they don't understand reality. I'm going to adjust my mic real quick. They were saying, you shouldn't be doing this. That baby didn't deserve it. What you're doing is completely wrong. Not recognizing the fact that the fetus is dead. And if she doesn't do this, she's going to die. Because her body's not going to release that fetus. It's not.
Yeah.
She needs this. Otherwise, it's going to rot. And she's going to get sepsis. And she's going to die.
So the kid was already dead.
The kid was already dead.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were telling her all of these things. Things that she already thought these things about herself. Because she felt in that moment, you know, that it was her fault. As most women who suffer from a miscarriage feel.
Yeah.
And to have it reinforced by religious zealots who don't understand the basic idea of personal choice and personal freedom is... It enraged me. Especially because this is one of my family members who I deeply, deeply love. And she cares so much about her children and she loves them so much. To be told, you know, that she's doing everything wrong when literally she's done nothing wrong, but now she has to, you know, deal with the consequences of the situation that she's in. And from that, I developed several opinions from it, the most important of which being that ultimately it's not my choice because I'm a man. I don't have any say in it. Yes, if I were to get someone pregnant, would that technically be my child? Yes, but until that child is born, I have no say. As much as I hate to say it, even though they share my genetic code, they're sharing their blood with their mother. They're getting all their nutrients from their mother. They're getting everything from their mother. Until that child is born, it is completely up to the mother to decide what to do. And as this whole Roe v. Wade situation was presenting itself, there were several social media influencers, actresses, actors, and all these people who were starting to post literature on it. And I did look up the literature because I wasn't ignorant. And some of the things that were said, obviously the case that I just said, you know, where you have a miscarriage and unfortunately, you know, the child, it wasn't a miscarriage where, you know, when the baby is born and they're just stillborn, they were born. I mean, they weren't even born. The miscarriage happened when they were still developing. The mother's body's not going to know to expel that. So the only thing to do is to have a medical abortion to clear out the uterus and to clear out everything. That's number one. But then there's other situations where an egg doesn't release properly and it blocks the fallopian tube.
Oh, shit.
You can get sepsis from that and you can die from that. There's other cases where, you know, an egg is fertilized but it doesn't implant correctly and the placenta begins to, you know, again, it begins to, you know, rot and disintegrate. It can lead to infertility. It can lead to, you know, sepsis and death. Basically, there's several situations in which it's necessary for the choice to have an abortion is incredibly necessary. Mm-hmm. Because without it, a woman is susceptible to sickness and to death.
Absolutely.
But ultimately, there's the other side. And this is the side that I knew. And this is the side that I have done enough research on and have taken the stance on, which is... You both mentioned, both you Skins and you Joran mentioned it, which is, let's say the child is born. Let's say you deprive a woman of her right to choose, and you take that child, and let's say you force that woman to have the child. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go the route of they put the child up for adoption because they can't either afford to take care of the child.
Oh, that was just Skins. I didn't mention that.
No, no, no. I know, but you mentioned the foster system being broken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I'm going with this. They can't afford to have the child, or they simply don't want the child for whatever reason. And I'm going to get more into why they don't want the child in a second. But the child gets put up in adoption.
I think you should shorten your...
You have my talk?
Because at this point, you're...
Well, see, that's why I wanted to
talk. You're providing arguments which we haven't really...
No, I know, but that's why I wanted gone to talk with. At the end.
I want to add some statements to rock the boat a little bit.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. So, in favor of the other side, I actually did some research of my own, and I've discovered something that people don't often talk about is the woman's mental health after the abortion.
Yeah.
Like, believe it or not, majority of women who go through something like this suffer from depression.
Oh, yeah.
And 4 to 9% of them actually attempt suicide.
Mm-hmm.
I actually know someone personally. After her first abortion, she was not the same.
Mm-hmm.
It fucked her up so badly that she ended up getting a tattoo of the name that she would have given her kid.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's entirely fair. I mean, this platform, you know, is for voicing all opinions.
Yes.
Even if they're not necessarily our own, we don't want it to come from just one side. So it's good that you're voicing the other side.
And I actually come from a mom who, like, she's one of those kind of people who's like, I'm a self-made woman. I'm going to be successful. I don't need a kid. Mm-hmm. She ends up getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I won't lie, I'm pretty, she didn't tell me straight up, but I was certain that abortion was on the table.
Mm-hmm.
But then, just like many other moms who kind of changed their minds, she kind of felt my heartbeat. That could have been what it was. I don't know. But she decided to keep me. And when I was born, she went from, like, I don't want no damn kid to, I'm going to make sure that you are protected and nothing ever hurts you.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, she went a little far on that, but.
But at the end of the day, she decided to take care of you.
Yes.
As best as she could.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She literally went from, I want everything that the world has to offer to, I'm going to make sure that the world, that I'm going to give you the entire world. And I think in many ways that's a beautiful thing.
It is. There's no question that that's a beautiful thing.
Something you want to add, John?
Yeah, you kind of stole my thing.
I wanted to help you.
No. You.
Yeah, no. I'm not going to write any arguments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to tell a personal story. Because just straight up, I am against abortion.
Yeah.
With the exception of, like, what you mentioned, stuff that would endanger the woman,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, either the baby dies or they both die.
Yeah.
You can't make a new, well, I mean, you can't make a new mom, but it'll take forever for her to become of age and all that. But the point is, you can always have another child, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in those situations where the life of the mother is in danger to the point where they would both die, because she dies, the kid dies, mm-hmm. you know, the only exception is that, like, during childbirth, if the mother dies, but by then the kid's already out of the womb. Those scenarios you mentioned, especially with, like, egg implanting the wrong way, the flow between you being blocked or the placenta rotting away, like, those things are serious.
Before you continue, those are just a handful of examples. I can't remember all of the literature off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But those are just a handful of examples.
Literally any situation where the mother will die and the baby won't live, you know, it's one of those things. And then I would imagine, I'm not a mom, but I would imagine certain moms might be like, well, if I die and the baby lives, you know, given that, you know, moms are moms, she might, you know, sacrifice herself. But I don't know how common that situation is. Usually when it's, like, complications, it's usually both will die anyway.
Yeah.
So there I cannot, within reason, be against abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Because, they're both going to die, you know. At that point, it's just a matter of numbers. Either both die or the mom lives another day and lives to potentially make another child.
And I think that's an important distinction to make, that that's where you stand on that.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm the middle child, but I'm my mom's first child.
Mm-hmm.
Because who was supposed to be my older sibling got aborted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I talked to my mom about it, you know. Oh, she's not mad that I'm talking about this right now. I mean, I just listen to the podcast. If anyone attacks her, I'm going to kill him. But, you know, She's like, she felt like she didn't deserve to have kids after her first one.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up with me and my brother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, which is great. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, abortion was on the table for me, too. Because for my brother, it wasn't because mm-hmm. of what happened with me. I think the doctor encouraged her to. Yeah, it was the doctor who encouraged her to get an ultrasound first. And she heard my heartbeat and she saw my little fingers and my head and all that. And she's like, I can't do it. I can't reasonably kill, you know, this child. You know, I can't get rid of the fetus here. And her first abortion, or only abortion, the abortion that she had, you know, came from a place of, you know, she's an undocumented immigrant, and she didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And I don't think my dad was like I don't think he knew that she was pregnant. Like, I don't think she told him or anything until later, after it happened. Because I remember him talking about it, and he was a little bitter. Which, if I was in his position, we all talk about, you know, how the men don't have a choice. But at the end of the day, you know, yeah, the baby does share the mom's nutrients and all that. But I would imagine as a father, there's nothing more hurtful, nothing more, you know, depressing than losing your own child, you know. And
that's fair,
and it is fair. And so if I have my facts straight, she didn't tell him right away, and they were in an argument, and he brought that up, and I was like, that's when I found out. And my mom was really ashamed of it. I was like, look, mom, like, you raised two fine young men. At this point in time, if I was gonna be angry about it, there's no reason to be, right? And basically, the idea was, she did was hear my heartbeat. Now, I didn't have time this week, but I remember hearing about 80 or 90% of women who get an ultrasound before getting an abortion change their mind. Now, I haven't found any studies about that because I haven't had time this week. So I'm not going to state that as fact. I'm just going to say that I've heard it. And I will say the fact that my mom, having with my mom, that actually happened. Mm-hmm. So however, whatever percentage, one out of however many women, right? So having with my mom, and if she had not heard that ultrasound, I wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't exist. And so that's kind of why I'm against abortion, because, like, at the end of the day, that's still a child. You know, at the end of the day, there's still a connection between the mother and the child, and it's so easy to kind of stamp out that connection when there isn't something tangible. But while looking at the ultrasound and hearing the ultrasound, it's tangible evidence that there actually is a child in there. And obviously, you know, being pregnant, you feel the child in there. But I think it. The realization kind of kicks in when, like, oh, I see it. I see the child. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's why I stand against it. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to argue. And I was going to say a bunch of other stuff, but I think I'm going to keep it there. Just it's a personal story. You know, there's no political and I could have gone the religious route because I'm a Protestant Christian, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to, because if you don't believe in God, then you're not going to operate on His rules. So there's no point in bringing that up. Aside from saying that's why I'm against it, mm-hmm. and so that's why I brought up the personal story. You know, something more tangible, something more relatable to multiple people of what, no matter what background they're from.
I sort of feel like I stole your story. I'm sorry.
It's all good. It's whatever. You know, it's not the only one. You know.
Okay.
I'm sure there's other people. Like my mom, who heard the ultrasound and changed her mind about the abortion.
Okay.
But so if you're for it, I mean, I'm not gonna call you a monster, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, the lot of women who do go through abortion, it messes them up. And the thing is, like, yeah, you can't take care of it. And then, you know, my thing, right, is like, I saw this. It's like a little political cartoon, right? It's a guy saying, who's against abortion? All the hands go up. Who wants to take care of a kid from foster home? All the hands go down.
Yeah.
And I'm all like, well, then those guys are idiots. You know, if I had the means to support a foster kid, I would, you know. Mm-hmm. I want to get married. I want to have a family. And I want to have both biological and non-biological kids. I would be more than happy to adopt a kid. And that's why I'm so confident in being against abortion. Because at the end of the day, provided that the foster system does need a lot of reform. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I would be one of those people that would, if I had the means to support a child, I would totally adopt one, maybe even two. Mm-hmm. And, but not everyone's like that. You know, not everyone's willing to, they don't want to take care of a kid. For them, it's a political thing or it's a religious thing. For me, there's different angles that I've come at it from. And that's my stance. I'm not here to argue. I'm not going to say you're wrong. Do I believe abortion is wrong? Yeah, but I'm not going to go in your face like, hey, you're wrong, because you could just throw that back at me. Hey, you're wrong for believing in Jesus, you know? So instead of having conflict, just, hey, this is where I stand. And, you know, if God's real and judgment day comes, you know, then I did what I had to do. And if he's not real, then I accept whatever consequences that comes with. I remember I had a conversation with Joe Rand. We were on a hike. He's like, you know, you believe in God, right? I'm like, yeah. Well, what if you're wrong, right? And then, like, what if it's like a different God or there's nothing at all? And I'm like, I fully accept the consequences of whatever happens in the afterlife, if that exists. If it was Ra or Allah, and I get sent to whatever hell that those religions, you know, okay, I fully accept those consequences. But yeah, that's where I stand.
The correct answer was Muslim.
Shut the fuck up, Keith.
No, it's Scientology.
Oh,
all praise Lord Xenu.
I feel
all
like praise, Joren, all
praise Lord Tom.
You have a lot to say regarding like the choices the father makes when in regards to abortion. Do you want to kind of add on to that?
Do you want to be blunt about it?
Yeah, be blunt.
The father doesn't, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Just because, okay. Okay, I'm not trying to be like, you know what, fuck men.
Yeah.
I'm like trying to be a fucking simp about it.
Yeah.
But it's just, like I said, it's just being blunt, yeah. Bluntly honest, right? Like, yes, it takes two people to make a kid. Mm-hmm. Apparently more due to science, mm-hmm. But I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to just talk about the natural way, mm-hmm. I would say. It takes two to make a child, but only one can carry it. Yeah. Right? Only one can carry it 24/7 for up to 9 months or longer, depending if the baby even wants to come out. Reason I say that because my little sister was late. Mm. She didn't want to leave. Little shit. Anyways, so the reason why I say the father doesn't have the choice, and it does suck. Like I'm not saying that with the being void of empathy, mm-hmm. Right? Because of course there are men out there that want children. Mm-hmm. And will be happy to have children, right? But yes, the father contributes to making the baby, but like I said, they're not the ones living with it. Mm-hmm. It's the woman that has to live with morning sickness, nausea, constant hunger. Mood swings, mm-hmm. Fatigue. They're the ones that have to go through it. And essentially, the baby is inside them. And for me, in regards to abortion, I personally don't think men have any say. Like I said, it's not out of me, quote unquote, simping. It's just very straightforward.
You're approaching answer. This you're very logically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. because, I mean, like, I have no right to tell a woman what to do with her body. Because mm-hmm. that's essentially what an abortion is, right? It's the woman that gets affected.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not saying the men don't. Yeah. But
they're not affected on a physical level.
Yeah. They're not affected.
They're not
affected. They're not affected more than one way.
Yeah.
Essentially.
For a hot second, I thought you said infected. I'm like, what? No, affected. I'm like.
Affected.
Because the other thing, right? I hear about, you know, it's what was it? Oh yeah, some people will refer to being pregnant as being invaded, mm-hmm. which
what
I've heard that. And honestly, I look, say what you want, be on whatever side you want, but that actually kind of makes me upset, yeah. You know, because this is just like your mindset's already wrong from the beginning. Because, you know, once again, to be a mother, you know, once again, I'm not a woman, but most mothers. You know, most good mothers, right? Most mothers that are worth their weight in whatever is worth weighing, they understand, and it's parents in general, that being a parent involves a lot of sacrifices, you know? And for the woman, and, you know, some will say that one of those sacrifices is, yeah, to carry you little mocoso for nine months. And, but that, you know, I love that kid to death.
You know, I have no doubt in my mind there are some women out there who, like, get pregnant, they're just, like, gross.
That's entirely fair. Or what I will say is the mother then shouldn't be allowed to throw that in the child's face later on.
Oh yeah.
Where they were like, I carried you for 9 months. I didn't ask to be born. And yeah, that might sound like a childish response, but think about what has to happen for number one, the mother to say that, and then number two, for them to be having that conversation in the first place.
Have you ever seen the show BoJack Horseman?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's exactly what he went through.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so fucking sad.
Also, I also want to say this, because, you know, we can talk about, you know, oh, she can't take care of the child or this and that. I will put this out there though. If you're having unprotected sex irresponsibly and you get pregnant from it and you can support the child, you shouldn't have the abortion. That was your decision to, like, you had unprotected sex. Like, understand that was a possible thing that could have happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you signed up for. Now, if it's, you know, someone from, like, the projects, right? It's just like, you could tell them that, you know, oh, yeah, that's what you signed up for. And, you know, to some people that you would be in the right. But at that point, you could bring up the argument where, well, she's poor. She can't support a child. But if you're some rich girl that's just sleeping around, like, you're being irresponsible. And and it's just like, come on.
The thing is, the question of abortion, it isn't to support an irresponsible lifestyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's to support a woman's decision.
To choose.
To choose. To do what she wants with her body. Because I know people bring up that part where, like, what if she's irresponsibly just having sex left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And keeps getting pregnant, keeps getting an abortion. It's like, first of all, honestly, how many women do you think are going to do that?
Yeah. And then number two, how many women's bodies are going to withstand that many abortions over and over again?
Yeah.
Until eventually, you know, they become unfertile. Because that's one thing that people don't realize. You can only have so many abortions before your body simply just
can't
handle it anymore. And either A, you have to carry that child to term, or B, you just become infertile to begin with.
There's an argument that's been going around recently, which I'm just kind of like, what about? So they're arguing by saying, like, guys should, like, get more vasectomies to prevent pregnancies from happening.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that it could be reversed. Is that true?
That is true.
Yes.
Huh. Mm-hmm. It is very true. Although when you speak to medical professionals, they specifically, I'm referencing Dr. Mike in one video that he did. In which he talks about vasectomies, and he says, yes, they can be reversed, but when you do the procedure, you should consider it as, you know, a permanent lifestyle change. Now, if for whatever reason something changes down the road and you either A, you want to have a kid or whatever, yes, it can be reversed. But ultimately, when it comes to what guys have to do to, because the vasectomy is the guy's equivalent to a woman either having a hysterectomy
or, well, no, not a hysterectomy. I take that back. Is what they is the equivalent of what women do to get their tubes tied. The problem is when a woman gets her tubes tied, that is significantly more dangerous and there's significantly more risk for complications. Oh. Whereas for a guy, when they get, you know, the vasectomy, yes, there's risk for complications, but the complications can be easily managed. Whereas for a woman, number one, it comes down to location of the uterus, and then two, how fragile that woman's body becomes after the tubes are tied.
Okay.
But yeah, it's the way I see it, and we were talking about the foster system to begin with. It's incredibly broken. It really is incredibly broken, and most of the kids that go through it, they end up suffering physically, emotionally, some sexually. Most of them, you know, end up having some form of mental disorder, regardless of, you know, what they were suffering through. You know, and quite a large amount of them end up having severe mental health issues, if not suicidal tendencies and thoughts. They become drug addicts. They become criminals. Yeah, there are success stories out there. You know, kid survives through all of the odds or whatever. But at the end of the day, why would you want to put a kid through that? Because you're so self-righteous that you're saying that what a woman chooses to do with her body is wrong. Now, let's go at it from another angle. Let's say the woman chooses to keep the child. Or let's say they're forced to keep the child because the foster system simply can't take the child anymore. Let's say the child came as a result of a rape. And more importantly, the child looks like the person who raped them.
Oof.
Those childs, more often than not, I'm not going to throw a number out there because I don't know what the number is. More often than not, though, they get physically abused severely by the mother. And emotionally as well. And it's just, you know, child doesn't deserve that. They didn't choose to. Like I said, a child does not choose to be born.
Yeah.
So they're not responsible for the actions of their parents or one of their parents and the abuser.
And what that could potentially do is just repeat the cycle.
Exactly. And it causes more crime. It causes more, you know, mental health issues. It causes more strain on severely lacking mental health services in this country. But more importantly than anything else, it creates somebody who's literally on this planet to suffer.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not here to say that all women who keep their children, I'm not here to say that all women who, you know, go through with keeping the child don't end up having, you know, a great relationship with the child and the child ends up thriving. But take a woman's right to choose away from them, and it's almost a guarantee that that would most likely not be the case. Because if you give a choice, it's one thing. But if you force them to go through with it, it's a completely different situation. Now, I am on the stance with Joren where I'm like, men don't have a say. The only say men have is actually, and it's in my honest opinion, get the vasectomy. If you want a choice, get the vasectomy.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you know, you can discuss anything else after that.
My stance on that is mostly like they're not the one making the choice. I agree with that. But the man at least has the right to say something about it.
Well, yes, they can say it, but they don't have the right to do anything about it.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly. Essentially what it is.
The only time that a man should have the right to choose is if their partner is literally incapable of making their choice.
Like they're like in a coma or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Or they're unconscious and literally it's a time sensitive thing. And they're like, you have to choose. Either your wife or the baby. We can only save one.
Mm-hmm. And the only time they have equal say is when the baby's out of the mom, right?
Actually, no. In the medical field, if it's between the mother and the child, they will save the mother, not the child.
Not if you've designated. Not if you're married. If you're married or in a domestic partnership and it's legally verified, your spouse gets to decide.
Was it a surrogate? No.
I think
that's not the right word, but it's like a designated person to
make
decisions, right?
Oh yeah, you could have sent a surrogate, can't you?
No, it's not a surrogate.
No,
you can use a surrogate to have a child, but that's for a different thing. No. It's a medical proxy.
That's the word. Yeah. No, you could like assign someone specifically to make that decision. It doesn't have to be your husband or wife.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you have to. I'm thinking of the situation where they don't have one.
Yeah. Yeah, and your medical proxy is the one who decides that. But ultimately, you will have talked with your medical proxy to decide what to do in a situation like that. That's the whole purpose of having one. But at the end of the day, that's the only time a man should have a decision. If he is next of kin and there's no medical proxy, that's the only time a man should have a decision whether or not to abort the child.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not saying that, like...
In my opinion.
Because I do support that, you know, if it's between two people, mm-hmm. in regards to the conversation of getting an abortion, it should be talked about.
Yes.
I think it would be... ironically, a dick move
for the woman. Oh my God.
Yeah. For a woman to just have the abortion.
Yeah.
But, like, not have a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. Especially if she knows that the person would like a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, right? it's legal, but it's, like, kind of be frowned upon if she did that.
Well, he's looking at it more so from between two people.
Yeah.
Like, if that were to happen, let's say the woman doesn't want to have the child. But the man is like, you don't have to worry about anything. If you don't want to raise the child, it's okay. You know, the relationship will end, obviously, because you don't want the child. But I will take that child. I will take care of that child. I will not ask you for a goddamn thing. I'll take care of that child every day, both in sickness and financially. I'll take care of them in every step of the way. You don't have to have any relationship with that child if you don't want to. But, you know, ultimately, it does come down to the decision of the woman. Is she willing to put her body through that? Is she willing to carry that child to term and then to let go? Because then there's the situation where up until she gave birth, she didn't care about the child. And then the minute she gives birth, like Flute Man said, and I think you mentioned as well, Skins, just seeing the baby just flips a switch.
No, actually, it's holding the baby.
Or holding the baby.
It's a scientific... thing. They develop an attachment. That's why
imprinting, right?
Imprinting. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's why when they decide not to keep the baby and put them up for adoption, the mother doesn't get a chance to hold the baby, and so that they don't develop that
bond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
fun fact,
I didn't put my opinion.
Yeah. Well, that's why.
Yeah. Go ahead. Put it in.
That's a poor choice of words.
Poor choice of words.
Yeah.
It was unintentional.
It's okay.
But anyways, I'm pro-choice. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of factors that could affect not only the mother but a child. Mm-hmm. And in this world, we don't deal with absolutes. You know, a good example is a lot of, like, the foster system puts out a lot of violent people. And that's a lot to do with environment and things like that. Yes, a child, I guess, like he said, doesn't have a choice whether it comes into this world or not. And then his argument is like, sorry. his argument's the opposite of that. But, you know, I'm thinking mostly about the mothers. And then when you start thinking about the child, there's a lot of different ways that that child can grow up. If they get adopted, nice family, great. What if it's not such a nice family? You know, look at... murders, felons, things like that. I'm not saying everyone in the foster system, you know, gets sent to jail and does bad things, but the environment doesn't help. So it comes down to...
numbers point against it,
basically. Yeah. If it comes down to it, if you're thinking about the child's well-being, you know, sure, I could... if I had the means, you know, I could provide a great life for the child and, you know, care for it, just like he would say, but at the same time, that's not the issue here. The issue is, will that child get a decent life, or will that child go through hell, and whether that is acceptable for you or not. You know, regardless of the outcome, what, you know, obviously, if a child goes to hell and ends up, you know, being a lawyer and things like that, great. But what if that's not the case? You know, what if they go through, they spiral down and go through a dark path? What if they commit suicide? Then what was the point? You know, those factors alone, yes, it comes down to the mother. But you know, we got to think about the well-being of the mother and the child, too. If not the mother, then of the child. If you want to go in that route, you know, if you can say with 100% certainty that, you know, those children are going to be in good hands. All right, great, but no one can. You know, and unfortunately, we don't live in a country that, at least to me, really deems that as a priority.
Shame.
You know, which sucks. But that's the honest truth. So are you willing to take that risk, take that gamble, and not bring the kid into this world, but throw the kid into it?
Throw them to the sharks and expect them to be able to swim.
You know, that's the bottom line if you don't want to think about the mother. So that's, you know, my stance is a little bit stronger thinking on that point with just it being pro-choice. You know, whichever way you want to think about it.
I will.
That's the thing, too. That's why it's called pro-choice, not like pro-abortion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nobody's pro-abortion.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, unless, like, extreme circumstances. This is why I like to have these arguments with people. We're not in an argument right now, but I like to have arguments with people.
Oh, this is a civil discussion.
You know, because it's like, it's testing them in a sense. Just like it's testing me at the same time, you know. Yeah. If they bring up something where I'm like, shit, you know, I haven't thought about that. You know, just like the discussion with the, well, how will the child be? I didn't think about that with my choice. I thought about the mother.
Yeah.
I think
we did mention the child.
Yeah. Like, which I didn't think about, to be honest, before today. But this is why I like having discussions like this and perhaps, you know, little civil debates, because it challenges your views. And it has you grow intellectually as a person, too. Because no one knows everything, correct? That's correct. You know, absolutely everyone's not. We're all still learning.
Yeah.
And I can say from experience that, you know, your views change after certain things, after a bunch of stuff. But anyways, that's my view on it.
I want to throw a little thing, because there wasn't a proposed law that you could have an abortion, like a certain amount of time after the kid is born.
Yeah.
So can we agree that that's straight up just killing a living baby?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Whoever proposed as an absolute demon, probably an animal.
Yeah.
How dare they?
Yeah, you can't. There's certain states where you can't get it after a certain point. Typically, it's once it's the third trimester, because at that point, the child is basically formed. It's just growing at that point.
Wait, what?
Yeah. At around the third trimester, the child is pretty much fully developed, like physically, but they still just need to grow.
So just so I could hear this in my head, that's the only time after the third trimester is when you can have it happen?
No.
In certain states.
Oh.
In certain states, you're not allowed to have it happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, once it reaches the third trimester, you're not allowed to have it.
Oh, okay.
I would imagine that wouldn't you have already made up your mind within the first two trimesters?
Uh,
It's hard, honestly, because like you said, this is a very, you know, divisive issue, and it, there's so many different things that a woman is thinking about when they're going through the pregnancy. And part of the reason why that law exists is because a lot of doctors, they have issues with, because I didn't know if you guys knew this, but a doctor who, and I guess it's a gynecologist who deals with it, who performs abortions, gets paid about $10,000 more a year.
Oh, jeez.
Just for doing the abortions. But it's because of that very issue. It's so emotionally draining to see what you're doing. And that's why a lot of the doctors who've performed them in the past, you know, especially if they're not for abortion, they've come out and they've started supporting the GOP. And like, this is what happens when you perform an abortion at the third trimester. You pull out an arm, you pull out a leg, you pull out part of their face, their teeth, whatever. Ugh. And it's like, he's got a point. Like, he's got a first-hand perspective of what it looks like. It's just
kind of hits your morals a little bit.
It does.
Yeah.
It
does. I think partially after the first trimester, or maybe a little bit after. I'm trying to think when, if the fetus is fully formed. Fucking no. That's because, you know, there's still, like he said, there's some states that that make it illegal, but there's also, I think, a lot of states that don't make it legal.
Yeah.
And that, to me, I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. At that point, it is a life, and you can't just, you know.
But bottom line is
snuff it out like that.
We can talk about this for as long as we want, and at the end of the day, there's no right answer. There's really not. But we just wanted to put this information out there for you guys. We wanted you to hear some information that you may or may not have heard, hear some stories, and be able to develop your own perspective on this.
Absolutely. Because here at the Wall Breakers, we're open to all as many ideas as possible, as long as it doesn't condone killing.
We're open to all opinions and things like that.
Except for white supremacy and communism.
Oh, yeah. No.
And black supremacy.
And socialism.
If you got an open mind, so do we.
There you go.
Or brown supremacy.
supremacy. I'm willing to hear it out, like, about, like, I'm justifying socialism, communism.
Oh my god!
But
I'll probably laugh.
But human history
has dictated otherwise.
Yeah. All right. So, are you ready to call it here?
Yeah. So
in the mic.
Okay.
So
you're ready to call it here?
The chemist.
Shut up.
Signing out. Fuck you guys.
I'm telling him to shut up.
I know. I'm just saying fuck you guys. But
we love you too.
So the Wall Breakers do stream at my Twitch channel.
Yes.
It's called Limit_Reaper.
N-word and all.
N-word?
All the way.
Sure. But anyways, just follow that for when we do our streams.
Mm-hmm.
We should play like Mario Kart, Jackbox, or exploring.
Be warned, when we play Jackbox, I'm highly offensive.
And then Smash Brothers as well. Well, hopefully we'll be able to evolve the content where we're all like streaming at the same time.
Oh, so yeah.
You get to see everyone's perspective.
I did my first test stream a little while ago. I enjoyed it. It was really shitty quality. So hopefully you guys will see better of that today, because I'm going to stream today.
Yeah. But anyways, I'm signing out, guys. Yeah. Sorry. Shut up. please follow the Wall Breakers at Wall5Breakers. Linktree is in the description as well to link you to our Spotify, our Anchor that we so enjoy doing the advertising for.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then, besides Instagram, Linktree, Spotify, I think as SoundCloud's. Probably. I know some other platforms as well. But just fucking
follow us.
Fucking follow us. Click the link.
We're on all of the major platforms.
Yeah. All right. That's it. Bye.
Okay. I'm the fortunate son signing off. You can follow me at Cali Flute Man on Instagram and TikTok. And you can subscribe to the Flute Man YouTube channel. Yes, I have not posted a video in over a year. I'm so sorry. I really want to get back to doing it. But you can subscribe to me there. And then, as you heard Joren say, you know, follow us on all the platforms that we post on.
especially Instagram.
If you were sorry, you wouldn't do it again.
It's never happened before.
I love how it's been happening the all song. The time.
Anyways,
because of the abortion talk.
Oh my god!
I know.
I didn't notice that. You're fucked up.
What?
No, do you know how you say this is the fortunate son? Because he's the one that wasn't aborted.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, you didn't even think of that.
No.
Good God, man.
Anyways.
The song was stuck in my head.
The diamond in the rough.
In any case.
Guys, I'm
Did you already sign off?
I'm pro-life. I wouldn't make an abortion joke like that.
You know what? Have you gone skins?
No, not skipped, yet. Right? I'm the last one.
Go.
The last one? Okay. Yeah. Well, this is Key of the Horn. You can find me on Instagram at GKT Music. Again, that's GKT Music. I got a YouTube channel. I've posted a few videos. I'm going to start posting again some more. Hopefully soon, you know, with the holidays coming up. But anyways, yeah. Yeah. I believe that's it. Mm-hmm. Motherfucker.
This is Theo Sam.
My arm.
Please follow me on Instagram at TheoSam619. And on Twitch at Gila Commando. I'm starting to stream finally. I apologize for the quality. If I stream from my PS5, it's going to be better. But if I stream from my iPad, not so much. Just depends on which Call of Duty I want to play that day. But yeah, go ahead.
This is Stefan Skins. You can follow me on Instagram at STEP.RORO. And once again, you can follow us on Instagram on Wall5Breakers for the Wall Breakers page. Also, check out for my Twitch stream. I'm doing streaming right now. I'm finishing up Elden Ring on Skins_TheWallBreaker. And also look out for the future. I'm going to start doing some segments with the boys. For example, Theo Sam and Stefan Skins does Call of Duty.
A huevo.
And then in the future, I'm looking forward to John Fluteman and Stefan Skins do Minecraft. And later after that, Joran the Chemist and Stefan Skins do Halo.
I actually want to join in on the fucking Halo. Don't you dare exclude me from that.
I also want to join in on the Call of Duty just right. To see Sam.
Fuck yeah.
See the toxicity.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and of course, Gia the Horn and Stefan Skins do Smash Bros.
Wouldn't that be all of us?
No, but hey, we'll like
you don't you know do shit. I mean. Calm down.
I'm going to rip you in half.
You just do it. You just spam. That's all you do.
My goal is to like
have a strategy.
I want to do a
spamming.
Stream. I want to do a stream with all of us, and then segments where it's just me and one of you guys.
That sounds like a plan.
I have a strategy.
Spamming.
No.
Yes. So it's gonna be a blast.
But in any case, that was the Wall Breakers this week.
All right, yeah. Cool.
Fight me.
Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Clap check.